Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, once gay, always gay. How do you respond? My child just told me he's gay. What can I do? What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Again, to another broadcast of His Way Out Ministries. I'm very glad you could tune in and join me this morning. It was approximately 23 years ago that God saw fit to birth His ministry called His Way Out Ministries. We remain committed to lovingly communicate to the sexually broken that God's mercy and grace are sufficient for transformation. We believe that restoration and wholeness through competent ministry, prayer, and a caring Christian community is indeed possible through Jesus Christ. As a result, we are committed to effectively and compassionately communicating God's heart concerning sexual brokenness and wholeness while disputing the unchangeable nature of sexual orientation. Our position rests on the authority of Scripture versus the interpretations of some of the social sciences and medicine. His Way Out Ministry services are all centered on the biblical foundations of compassion, integrity, and dependence on God. At His Way Out Ministries, we continue to affirm that all persons need the ministry of the church in their struggle for sexual wholeness, and we commit ourselves to that end. We do not condone the practice of homosexuality because we consider such practice incompatible with Christian teaching and conduct. And once again, we believe God's grace is available to all who repent. His Way Out Ministries offers a variety of services beginning with biblical guidance, biblical discipleship, prayer support is available in person, by phone, as well as email. The variety of care groups that we offer, each and every one, offer encouragement and support to persons desiring freedom from same-sex attraction and family members, spouses, and friends of those who struggle with homosexuality. We offer a variety, a selection of various workshops and seminars, education and training sessions for adults and youth. Each and every one provide biblical truths about homosexuality, identify the root causes, and always encourage a Christian response. Our educational resources, such as our website, our monthly newsletter, our Vimeo channel, a variety of booklets that we offer that are connected to our workshops and seminars, as well as the KERI 1410 AM weekly radio broadcast each and every Saturday morning at 7 a.m., are all available once again to encourage the body of Christ around the world to reach out and to minister transformingly to those with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. At His Way Out Ministries, we continue to believe that God is still very much in control and that God is still very much in the business of transforming lives. Ultimately, today, where we have arrived concerning the topic of homosexuality and the various related issues, really for many, many years now, has not been about homosexuality. At His Way Out Ministries, we wholeheartedly believe that the critical issue that we have faced and we currently face really is the Lordship of Christ and the authority of Scripture. It is in this current climate that I believe the faithful Christian church is called and under command by God Himself to assert its biblical position that sexuality is God's good gift, that sexually chaste relationships are both possible and desirable, and that sexual passion is designed to be expressed only between a man and a woman in the context of a lifetime marriage. We are all sexual beings. Indeed, that is how God created each and every one of us. Our sexuality is a good gift from God, providing sexual expression stays within God's well-defined holy boundary lines. Regarding the subject matter of homosexuality, search the totality of Scripture, and you will not find even one positive statement about homosexual practice in any form and to any degree. Each and every time homosexuality is mentioned in Scripture, it is always offered in the context as a behavior in which no man or woman is to practice. Any endeavor to make the Bible agree with homosexual practice ultimately requires abandoning the truth of God. True love, love for God, is not about sexual preference. It is about biblical obedience. As a director of His Way Out Ministries, and once an individual in the throes of a battle with same-gender attraction myself, I want to pause right here and offer a bit of disclaimer, because I know all too well that this whole subject matter is a very emotional topic for many, indeed at times becomes very, very heated. But let's consider this morning that truthless grace really accomplishes nothing. And when all is said and done, at the end of the day, when it comes to the subject matter of homosexuality, this ultimately is not about an issue. This is indeed about people. People whom God loves, people for whom Jesus died. Personally speaking, I cannot say that I truly love people by standing by silently and allowing them to compromise their life in sexual sin unchallenged. That is not true love. Those today who attempt to support homosexual practice from the Bible use approaches to the Bible that do not support the understandings historically held by the Christian church. For example, they reinterpret Romans chapter 1 as only condemning homosexual practice in the context of idol worship, but they miss the obvious fact that the Apostle Paul is condemning, among other things, the idolizing of sex itself. Many emphasize that Jesus did not specifically speak against homosexual practice, but neither did Jesus specifically speak against rape or child molestation, and yet Christians believe these practices go against biblical principles. Ultimately, for me, the considerable objection that I have with regard to pro-gay theologians and pro-gay apologists is their theorizing and speculating on what Scripture doesn't say in their attempt to validate homosexual practice. But I have a suggestion. Why don't we embrace and adhere to what God has clearly stated in His Word regarding sexual expression? And since I'm venting here just a bit, let's not also give just a wink and a nod to the very long list of heterosexual sexual addictions, such as sex before marriage, habitual adultery, and the addiction to pornography. Now let's really just bring this whole matter right down to where the rubber meets the road. For all true faithful followers of Christ Jesus, we really only have two options only when it comes to sexual expression per God the Father. The first revolves around a man and a woman, the two becoming one, remaining faithful to one another, as a marriage vow state, till death do we part, and the man and the woman doing their utmost to live within, to stay within God's well-defined holy boundary lines of matrimony. And really, option two regarding sexual expression being acceptable to God the Father, option two really revolves around a question. And the question is, are you single? If the answer is yes, the man, the woman, is not to be sexually active, period. Now, personally, I remain convinced that given everything that has transpired regarding homosexuality, and the many related issues, and everything that continues to unfold, given this present crisis of truth. We, followers of Christ, must refuse to be pressured by it all. We must not allow a minority or a majority to dictate to us, the church, what our standards will be. Our standards must come from a higher authority. Holiness before God should be our ultimate goal, and not acceptance by sinners. Therefore, let's consider, scripturally speaking, what we do know about homosexual practice. Let's consider first and foremost that if we were to open our Bibles right now to Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, which I often refer to as God's blueprint for human sexuality, we would see very clearly that we are created beings, and God created us, each and every one, with a very specific intent. As Christians, our body is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, and therefore we should honor God by not participating in a behavior, any behavior that He has clearly defined as sin. We can also find very clearly in Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 through 6, we see clearly that God's divine intent for human sexuality is indeed fulfilled within the covenant of a monogamous and heterosexual union. Every biblical example in which God brings a marriage together involves a man and a woman. There are no biblical instructions for same-sex marriage because it was never God's plan. We also know that the fall has distorted every part of our experience, which includes our sexual preference. It's a biblical fact that we are each and every one born into a fallen world, and as a result, we all struggle with a sinful nature. And what does that tell us? It tells us clearly that we're all broken, and our brokenness is going to manifest differently from person to person, and for some, it manifests in the issue, the brokenness of same-sex attraction. We also know, according to Leviticus chapter 18 and 20, as well as 1 Corinthians chapter 6, that homosexual practice is a manifestation of fallen nature, and it violates created intent. There is simply no way to endorse, validate, or approve of homosexual practice from Scripture, because each and every time it is referenced, it is always done so in the framework as a behavior, not unlike others, once again, that no man or woman is to practice. And finally, what we also find in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, is that each man, each woman struggling with same-sex attraction is redeemable and change is possible. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 is such a critically important positive reference because it points clearly to former homosexuals who had been washed, sanctified, and justified by their faith in Christ Jesus. I believe it bears a very, very important question. The question being, why would a Heavenly Father, who loves us, tell us to stay away from something or not to do something? Ideally, would it not be, is that He is doing His utmost to protect us each and every one from unseen danger. I really believe today that ultimately the real menace of society is not those who oppose immorality, but those who promote it. Clearly, in the world in which you and I live today, things have gone much too far. While we must not take the law certainly into our own hands, we can, we will, and we must refuse to allow immorality to become acceptable. This is not gay bashing. You are not hateful or a bigot or homophobic by standing upon the truth and the authority of Scripture. And really, with God Himself, I would submit. Standing with God, we are literally protecting His character and the authority of His holy word. When anyone today claims that homosexuality is God's gift to the church and to society, which many today are proclaiming and insisting that we agree with them, then I really do believe that confrontation is appropriate. However, there is a right way, and there is certainly a wrong way for that to be accomplished. We must always, always keep the right focus and remember once again that this is all about people. Therefore, with Jesus as our very, very perfect role model, Jesus himself confronted people all the time. Each and every time Jesus did confront or challenge, he always did so with the equal balance of both truth and grace. Unfortunately, many today are siding far too much on the side of grace and dismissing, if not ignoring, truth. In terms of the church's integrity is compromised when those professing to be Christians misrepresent Christianity. When people claiming to follow Christ misrepresent him through immorality, Christians do, I believe, need to speak up and present the truth. If homosexuals are comfortable with their behavior, that is one matter, and it is actually their choice. However, when they say that it is being done with the blessings of Christianity, the church should insist, as the Apostle Paul did in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, "The Lord knows them that are his, and let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Therefore, how should the church be responding to homosexuality? For some churches, the homophobic attitudes of the past have led many congregations to directly or indirectly reject the homosexual for the sake of maintaining God's righteous stand. However, some churches now claiming an enlightened understanding of homosexuality and discarding traditional teaching have now opened the church to unrepentant homosexuals. Seeing them as born gay, they reach out with compassion, but they are sacrificing righteousness in the process. There is a clear third response. Through the atonement of Jesus Christ and the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, God has, God is, and God will continue to deliver men and women from the snare of same-sex attraction. Why? Because Jesus remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. Once again, our God remains a God of new beginnings. Our God remains a God of transformation. And hope, healing, wholeness, and renewal are available to all. It is imperative the church reach out in love and compassion with a message of forgiveness and the extension of grace to those who sin sexually, be it premarital, extramarital, or homosexual activity, or the lust for such activity. Today, those involved in sexual sin may very well be our brothers and sisters in Christ. They could also be our sons and our daughters. And they need the help of the church to know and follow God's plan for bringing their sexuality under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The church must be crystal clear in its teachings that God is calling us to repent and turn away not only from sexual sin, but from all unrighteousness, including gossip, greed, and a judgmental spirit. Today, I believe all faithful followers of Christ Jesus must come face to face with these ultimate and final questions. Do I accept the Bible as the Word of God, as the sole authority in all matters of faith and practice, or do I not? Do I accept Scripture, all Scripture, as a revelation from God, or do I trust speculation, human knowledge, human learning, human understanding, and human reasons? Or let me put it even more simply. Do I pin my faith to and subject all my thinking to what I read in the Bible? I, for one, believe when the church is functioning at its best, meaning the church holds to the truth and the authority of Scripture, the church then positively influences society, culture, and the world. I'm remembering the words of Billy Graham when he once said, "The cross confronts every person and demands a lifestyle change. Faithful followers of Christ Jesus have to make important life decisions. We, each and every one, must decide to give up everything in our lives to follow Jesus Christ. Where does our surrender, our allegiance begin? It begins by putting the Word of God in its proper place. I invite you, please, to listen very, very carefully to the words of the 138th Psalm. I will praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above your name. Obviously, God thinks highly of his name, but he has magnified his word even above his name, and so should we all. Again, at His Way Out Ministries, we remain dedicated to sharing God's truth and the message that He remains in the business of transforming lives. At His Way Out Ministries, we repudiate any non-loving, prejudicial attitudes that deny Christ's unconditional love for all people, and we declare such to be sin. At His Way Out Ministries, our intent is to extend compassionate Christian ministry for such persons. Over our 23 years of ministry, we have seen God do wonderful restoration in an abundance of lives of both men and women, families and churches. And to God be the glory. From all of us at His Way Out Ministries, we thank you so much for tuning in to our weekly radio broadcast. We have greatly, greatly appreciated many of you calling, emailing us, and posting notes on Facebook, sharing just how helpful our broadcasts have been. We are purpose once again to continue the broadcast going out over the airways because we believe this. Jesus has promised that when he is lifted up, he will draw all unto himself. If there is one question that comes our way on a very frequent basis, it is, how do we love them like Jesus? Jesus' own examples provides us with several practical tools in reaching our gay and lesbian friends, neighbors, co-workers, possibly even a fellow brother and sister in Christ. First, please take to heart that you have permission to love your gay friends or family members. And frankly, you have more than permission. You have a mandate from the Lord. Many people have been so confused by the message they receive from the church that they feel guilty for loving someone who is gay. True love is what will draw people to Jesus. And here, I believe, is an equally important question to consider. What does it really mean to love them? It means that our souls should break for their hurt, for their pain, for their brokenness, and for the state of their souls. In other words, our motives must be honest and pure. If in our seeking to reach the gay community is to change them for our benefit, I guarantee you we will fail. As Christians, we are called to love them and to show them Jesus. Jesus and the Holy Spirit do the work of cleansing and transformation. Also, there are times when gay people are, well, unlovable. In fact, sometimes Christians are unlovable. But God does not call us to love only those for whom it is easy to love. We're not called to share the gospel with those who are easy to love. We are called to sacrificial love, to love in the same way that Christ loves you and I. Now, certainly there are many different ideas on how best to evangelize the lost. Frankly, evangelizing the gay community is no different. For me, the bottom line is any goodwill extension of love to the gay community cannot hurt. While Jesus socialized with sinners, there is no evidence that he frequented their dens of iniquity. Personally, I challenge the idea of evangelizing in gay bars as a bad idea. Sometimes Christians worry about getting too close to a homosexual out of fear that the gay person might be attracted to them. While there is a chance of this happening, the chance is small, and is certainly no reason to avoid gay people. For the person building a relationship with a gay person, the key is to do your best to foster a healthy relationship and friendship. You may be the first heterosexual person to pay any attention to them, and it may mess with their emotions and attractions. But please do not be afraid to ask questions and to clarify your relationship. Frankly, some will expect you to run away at this point. I would encourage you, please, prove them wrong. And while it may scare you, and while you may want to look for a speedier fix, we must share Jesus if we are truly to offer homosexuals something better than their sin. The goal of the Christian community for homosexuals should not be heterosexuality. It should be changed lives through Jesus Christ. Jesus will deal with their homosexuality. I want to encourage you, please, when you have a free moment, to please visit our website, HisWayOut.com. At our website, you will find a wealth of information to help you representing Christ in a more effective way, a more meaningful way to those struggling with the brokenness of same-sex attraction. Articles, testimonies, an abundance of educational videos. All the information offered on our website is there for you to lose. We invite you, please, to download, to copy, use for your own personal reference and guidance, as well as please share with your fellow brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ and those that may come in the pathway of your life that may need extra information to help them once again represent Christ in a lovingful and meaningful way. At His Way Out Ministries, our home base of operation remains right here in Bakersfield, but we are now continuing our ministry overseas in Jamaica, Trinidad Tobago, Guyana, South America, and Las Vegas, Nevada. And to God be the glory, once again, He is mightily on the move and remains in the business of transforming lives. Again, from all of us at His Way Out Ministries, thank you for tuning in. I hope you'll join us again next Saturday, same time, same station. And until then, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.